During her meteoric rise in Hollywood in the late 1950s and early 60s, Dolores Hart was dubbed the next Grace Kelly. But today, this woman, who was the recipient of Elvis Presley's first on-screen kiss, is called the Reverend Mother Dolores Hart, Prioress of the Abbey of Regina Laudis. She has been a Benedictine nun for the past five decades, living a cloistered life in Connecticut. She's also the subject of the Academy Award-nominated HBO documentary short God is the Bigger Elvis, which was directed by Rebecca Camissa. It premieres this Thursday on HBO at 8 p.m. and brings the Reverend Mother Dolores Hart to our studio today. Hello.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Was there a lot of competition to be Elvis's leading lady?
I suppose there was.
Because he was hot at the time.
I did not know very much about Elvis. I was in school, and I was in a play playing St. Joan at UCLA.
More appropriate considering where you went in your life.
Right. Well, but a friend of mine, Don Barbo, was he sent my picture into the studio and told me that he was going to see if he could get me into films. I thought he was crazy. But before I knew it, Paramount called me. They said they would like to take me in for an interview. And I still couldn't believe this until I got the phone call. And then I was asked to go in for the interview. And then they said they would... And I went in, and then they just wanted to do the screen test. So
they were taking a real chance.
They were, but they liked Don's picture. So after I did the screen test, that's when they actually called my mother. She thought I was playing a joke on her.
Well, you grew up in Hollywood. Did you consider it your calling to become an actress?
Oh, I wanted to be an actress from the time I was 7 years old. My daddy had been an actor, and my grandfather was a projectionist. So
It was in the blood.
It was in the blood.
And how many years did you wind up working in films?
7 years.
And Elvis was your first co-star.
Right.
Not a bad way to start. Who else?
Anthony Quinn, I worked with in the second film. And then Montgomery Clift, actually I worked again with Elvis in another film, then Anthony Quinn, Montgomery Clift. I just went from one good person to the next.
And you thought probably at the time that you'd be walking that red carpet for an Oscar, but you got to do that when you returned to Hollywood for the Academy Awards this year.
Well, yes, that was really HBO was incredible. Sheila Nevins was amazing that she sent me to do that. I couldn't believe it.
Well, did you feel like you were slipping right back into that world? Did it look recognizable to you?
I first went to the first Oscar cast at the Pantages, you know, so when I went to the, I thought that I was in the Colosseum in Rome when I went last time. I couldn't believe it. I turned and looked at that volley of photographers and all those kids. That was like something I couldn't believe.
So when did you first consider leaving it all? Was that in the back of your mind for a while? Because you had converted to Catholicism when you were just 10 years old, hadn't you?
Yes.
Was that your decision?
Yes, that was. I was a convert when I was a child.
And your parents had nothing to do with it?
No.
Were they surprised?
No, I had gone to school, and I wanted to have the bread with the children. Mm. Literally, I wanted to have sweet rolls and milk. That's how I got into this.
Was your family religious?
No.
But okay, so there you are working in the movies. The movies have been full of Catholics who were able to separate religious beliefs from the roles that they were playing, and Hollywood movies at that time were a lot tamer than some of them are today. Mm. So was it the nature of movies, or was it that you just felt drawn to the religious life?
Well, I did have this feeling from the early time. I did have a great aunt who was a St. Joseph nun. So it had occurred to me when I was small. But I guess the seed gets planted, and God only knows how he does it. And then I always wanted that movie star life. I always wanted it. But after I got engaged to be married, I was going to a party with my fiancé. And he said to me, you know, you're not enjoying yourself at this party. We are on our way back home. He said, I think you have to go back to that monastery and get something straight. So it was done.
So Don Robinson, your fiancé, actually was the reason you wound up choosing not to marry him.
Yes, that's right.
I'm sure he had no idea what he was doing at the time.
Poor guy, he certainly didn't. But I went back to the monastery the next day. And when I came back, Don said to me, what are you going to tell me? And I said, I'm afraid you're right.
You had to contend with all sorts of rumors. It was not unusual for people to make conjectures. They thought one of the reasons you left may have had something to do with Elvis. Or didn't they also assume that you and Elvis had had an affair?
Oh, yes, of course, you know. But
who wouldn't?
That was such a shoo-in. Why not? You know?
Is it ironic that you were compared with Grace Kelly and she also left Hollywood for a different sort of life?
Yes, it was. And of course, I had the great luck to look like her. So when I went in, just as she was, I mean, when I went into films, just as she was going to Monaco, I was very lucky because that was another reason why I had the luck of the Irish, because I had blonde eyes and blonde hair and blue eyes and looked at the same features. So it wasn't bad.
What about the acting? Did you did you study acting?
No. No, I actually, my grandfather always said, why don't I ever give him the privilege of, he used to take me up to the booth where he, and he would tell me to, every time the reel goes around, you wake me up and I'll give you a quarter. And I would watch.
So you got to watch the movies.
I would watch those movies. I could not hear what was going on. I watched more movies when I was a little kid, and I learned an awful lot, because after the first film that I was on, the director came to me and said, where did you study acting? And I said, I don't know. Well, I had a dream some years later, and in the dream my grandfather said, why don't you ever give me credit for telling anybody? I'm the one that taught you acting.
Well, obviously what you were watching is the way they moved, which is something that's hard to teach people. You can teach people how to deliver a line well.
Yes, but in films, to be able to know how to move and how to walk and where to sit is pretty important.
My guest is Reverend Mother Dolores Hart. She's the subject of a film that will be premiering on this Thursday at 8 p.m. on HBO called God is the Bigger Elvis, nominated for an Academy Award. So when did you first hear of the Abbey of Regina Laudis?
Well, I was...
Is it Laudis or Laudis?
Laudis.
Laudis.
Right. I was in a play, The Pleasure of His Company, in New York in 1958, 59.
So you moved on to theater.
Yes. I was there for a year. And I went to, they asked me if I needed some time to rest. And I said, well, I don't have any place in the country. So a friend of mine suggested I go up to this abbey, and this was a nice place to go for a weekend. And I said, well, I don't want to go anywhere where there's nuns.
Really? Said, you hadn't been very religious while you were pursuing your acting career?
Well, I had, but I certainly didn't want to get invited into... Something told me, be careful. But I went there, and I really loved it. I really loved it, and I knew from the moment I was there, I knew there was something right.
So then, did the decision wasn't immediate, was
it? No, it wasn't immediate, but I had a feeling that there was something that was calling me. And I said to the abbess when I was there, "Do you think that I might be good for this place?" And she was very shrewd, because she said to me, "No, Dolores, you go back and do your acting thing." I was so relieved. I just fled.
Because they're also aware that you might regret making that kind of commitment.
Of course, because I was only 19. And she knew I needed to get things off my chest, and I needed to go back to work. So for the next 5 years, I did. And I had a wonderful career. But that stayed with me. That place stayed with me. And I kept coming back. Every time I could, I came back.
Could you take us through your first few weeks in the Abbey and what it was like for you, both the spiritual changes and the new environment? Because it's such a different life.
Well, the Abbey is it's very bucolic. It's 400 acres of farm, and there's it's absolutely covered with forest, and there's animals, wild animals there too, beautiful places where the deer and many of the farmland we have now on the land. We have 40 head of steer, and we have
sheep. And what are you doing with them? Milking them, or
we milk them. We keep them for their hide. We use them for various kinds of I think they make different kinds of purses and different kinds of I'm trying to think of the different practicals that come from the hide, mm-hmm. that the sisters...
Well, leather has so many different
uses. Yes, the leather hobbies that they work on.
Now, I'm assuming that the other nuns questioned your commitment at first.
I'm not sure which nuns you mean.
Well, I mean, here you are, a movie star, mm-hmm. and you say, "I want to join this order." People have to be a little dubious at first.
They were. I mean, when I first entered the Abbey, my family, they were horrified. They couldn't believe it, and it was astounding to them. No one accepted it.
But you weren't alone. In the film, we meet Sister John Mary, who's a recovering alcoholic. And you get the feeling that many nuns at the Abbey have some kind of turmoil in their past that ultimately brought them
yes,
to it.
In the film that we did for HOV, for the film, that they are amazing. It was wonderful when they came to do the film with us, because they found in our community those sisters who had experiences that, as you just pointed out, Sister John Mary and the ones who, Sister Judith, those sisters had really gone through very difficult experiences. And they had found in the Abbey a solace and a place of reformation, a place of humanity, a place that changed their life, and a place in which they could really come to terms with their own spirituality.
Now, obviously, you weren't doing any of the leather work, so what were you doing?
Oh, me? Oh, well, in my part, if you want to know what I did in the monastery, I have been a victim of neuropathy for the last 10 years. Before that, I was the carpenter in the community, and I made the community's coffins because I had discovered that my great-grandfather had been a coffin maker, and I could do this work. Early on, when I was in the community, our mother, David, who was her father, had died, and I made his coffin. I just discovered when she asked, she needed someone who could do a coffin for someone who was Peruvian. And I said, I can do that. And the abbess said to me, would you want to continue this work for the rest of the community? So I have done 17 coffins for the remainder of the community.
I'm assuming that things have changed a lot over the 5 decades you've been there. Do you have cell phones? Do you have computers?
Well, we now have come to age, and a number of us who need to have certain kinds of communication do use cell phones, do use computers, do use whatever is needed to keep us in communication, by all means.
Now, just one other thing. You mentioned Don Robinson earlier, your fiancé.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's been visiting you for 47 years?
Don came every Easter, every May, and came sometimes at Christmas all these years, and would send the community their meal on December 8th. That was his gift, and did that faithfully up until this last Christmas when he had an accident and fell and hit his head and passed away.
But that was incredible loyalty.
It was amazing.
Or love.
Amazing.
Before you go, what are some of the stereotypes of nuns and living in a cloistered life that you would like to dispel?
Well, I suppose one of the worst, I think, is that all we do is sit around and pray. And just what is prayer? Because prayer is living and being and loving. I think that's the worst one. And the second one is that nuns are sexless women who have given up their emotions, because sexuality is wholeness. It belongs to the complete person.
So abstinence is not sexlessness.
That's right. That's right.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. I've been talking with the Reverend Mother Dolores Hart, Prioress of the Abbey of Regina Laudis, and the subject of a new film called God is the Bigger Elvis. It will be premiering this Thursday on HBO at 8 p.m. What a pleasure.
Thank you very much for this. I really enjoyed speaking with you.